Thank you very much to David, and be a great help, in fact, if we could keep that second reading, the very short one, in front of us in Matthew chapter 5, there on page 968. And also, I hope you found in your order of service one of these white inserts like this, with the verses which we'll be looking at this morning, as we consider these wonderful words of the Lord Jesus and their meaning. As we start, let's pray together for the Lord's help. Lord Jesus Christ, in your divine wisdom and love, you spoke these words to your followers all those years ago to teach them and train them and shape them. Please draw near to us again this morning by your Holy Spirit and teach us too, so that we might be shaped in your likeness to live as salt and light, distinctive lives in this world, to your praise. Amen. I read this week about an art gallery in Italy, which last October was given a valuable sculpture by a renowned artist. Naturally, they placed the sculpture in display in pride of place, and all was going well until the cleaners came in the next morning. Apparently, the cleaners saw the new sculpture. They didn't realise what it was. They assumed it was a piece of rubbish that someone had left out, and they threw it away. Imagine the curator's shock when they found this valuable treasure in the bin. It reminds us that something can be very valuable and yet dismissed by those who don't recognise its worth. And that is certainly true of the quality we're looking at today, meekness. It is hugely valued by God, but meekness is often despised or dismissed by people. Now, in the Beatitudes, these words at the start of the Sermon on the Mount, which we're looking at these weeks, Jesus describes the blessed life, the good life, the life that meets with God's approval and blessing. And Jesus lists 8 qualities which are the hallmarks of his followers. It's not that we can pick and choose from the 8 which ones to aim for. No, Jesus' genuine followers should be marked by all 8. Just as all 8 accompanying promises are God's gift to every follower of Jesus. Now, there have been some surprises in the Beatitudes so far. The first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, not those who think they're good, but those who know their sin and spiritual bankruptcy. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then last week, blessed are those who mourn, not those who are satisfied with themselves, but those who mourn for their sin. For they will be comforted. And now today, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I want us to look at both halves of that verse, Matthew 5, verse 5, as we see what meekness is, and then as we appreciate the promise that comes with it. So first, and on the white outlines, if that helps, blessed are the meek. Now, I think the word meek is hardly ever used in English today. I'm embarrassed to confess that when I started my preparations for this, I wasn't quite sure what it meant. But I've done my research. The word meek translates the Greek word praus, which means gentle and humble. Now, in English, meekness is often associated with weakness, but not in the Bible. In the Bible, 2 people are called meek. The first, in Numbers chapter 12, is Moses, perhaps the strongest person in the Old Testament. And the second is the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 11, on the outline, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle," that same word, praus, meek, "and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So Jesus tells those who are weighed down with sin and with guilt and the burden of self-justification, trying to make themselves good enough for God, to come to him and find rest. Because he is meek, gentle and humble, and so he uses his strength for the good of others, to forgive, not to condemn, and to restore, not to crush. So meekness is not weakness, it's strength used for the good of others in gentleness and humility. Now, there are many aspects to being meek, and I want us to look at four of them in the Bible, and in each case, Jesus Christ himself is the ultimate example. So first, the meek trust in God and don't take revenge. When Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth," he was almost quoting Psalm 37 in the Old Testament. Verse 11 of Psalm 37 says, "But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace." Now, this psalm is about what to do when evil people are prospering, when they seem to go from strength to strength, when evil people are hurting us. And the psalm teaches us how to be meek. So it says in verse 5, "Commit your way to the Lord." In other words, put your life into God's hands. Your relationships, your health, your work, your all. Place it into God's hands for him to do as he sees fit. And also in verse 5, trust in him. Trust that God is working for your good. Then a little later in verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Not that we have to be completely passive and do nothing, but it means trusting in God's timing, which may be different to ours. And then verse 8, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Don't pour out your own anger and revenge on those who do evil. Leave the judgment to God, trusting that he has your life in his hands and that he is in control of all things. Now, the prime example of this is Jesus. We read in the next reference in 1 Peter chapter 2, "When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." Just think of Jesus at his trial. They struck him on the head. They insulted and accused him. With a word, he could have destroyed them. But he stood there meekly in silence, speaking just to confirm his divine identity and mission. When the soldiers hammered in the nails, he prayed, "Father, forgive them." Now, Christians, this is the meekness that we are called to in all of our dealings with other people, including actually with each other in the family of God. So we read in Colossians chapter 3, the next reference, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness," that's the literally meekness, "and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Now, sadly, even in church, people may hurt us by things they say to us, by things they say about us, by ways they let us down. And the natural thing is to respond to this with anger, telling them off in an email or a phone call, or telling others what they've done, or just seething with anger. But the meek do what Colossians 3 says in the last two sentences: bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. We might still say something to the one who has hurt us, but it would be in the right way and at the right time, genuinely to help the other person and not just to let off steam. In some cases, we might need boundaries to protect ourselves from hurt and the other person from sin. But again, those boundaries would not be set up in anger, because the meek trust in God and don't take revenge. And there are two great helps with this. One is to remember that our lives are in God's hands. Remember Psalm 37, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him. And the other is to remember that through faith in Christ, God has forgiven us all our sins, and so we must and can forgive others. Well, over on the back of the outline, another aspect of meekness. The meek are gentle with those who are struggling and failing. In Matthew chapter 12, we read these words of Jesus. It says, "Here is my servant whom I have chosen," to quote from Isaiah about Jesus Christ, "a bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory." It's beautiful poetic language. But think of Jesus on earth. When he encountered someone bruised and damaged, he didn't crush them. He gently restored them. When he met someone whose faith was like the wick of a lamp smouldering and about to go out, he didn't blow them out. He fanned them back into flame. And actually, Christ is the same to us today. When we come to him in weakness and failure, he gently heals and restores us. And Christians, we're called to do the same. Book of Galatians chapter 6. "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore that person gently," literally meekly. When someone is struggling or failing, do we get frustrated? Do we snap? Do we write them off? Well, the meek work to gently restore, correct, encourage and nurture, at the same time humbly watching that they don't fall into the same temptation. You see, the meek are gentle with those who are struggling and failing. Another aspect is the meek are quick to listen and learn. Hear these important words from the book of James. "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent. And humbly," again, it's literally meekly, "accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." A friend of mine told me a story. He served in the army for a while, and he told me about a training exercise that they had one day where one of the soldiers had his radio stuck on transmit for the whole day, but didn't know it. Imagine the situation. With his radio jammed on transmit, nobody else could speak, but all of the users could hear what this poor soldier said all day long in his general conversation. So he started off by discussing sport, and they all heard that, and then he moved on to discussing his love life, and then he moved to his opinion of colleagues, and he ended with his opinion of the new commanding officer. When he got back to the base at the end of the day, this poor man was in a world of trouble, as they pointed out that his radio had been stuck on transmit all day long. Now, it is possible to go through life a little bit like that, broadcasting our views to other people and not able to hear what they're saying. And James is saying in that reading that we should be quick to listen, eager to hear what others have to say and to learn from them, and slow to speak, not having too high a view of our own opinions, and slow to become angry if others criticize or challenge us. And the particular mark of meekness is that we're quick to listen to the word, that is the word of God, as it says, to humbly accept the word of God planted in us, which can save us, and not just listening to it, but putting it into practice as well. It's the great mark of meekness, being quick to listen and learn, especially to God and his word. And actually, there's no one who has been more attentive to God's word and obedient to it than Jesus himself. The meek are quick to listen and learn. One final aspect of meekness. The meek submit to authority. So we read in Titus chapter 3, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility. Again, it's the word meekness towards all men. I find there's something in me which always tends to undermine authority and to think that I know better. And really, that is pride. It might not be fashionable, but an aspect of meekness is obedience to authority. On the big level, obeying the government, we might think of speed limits and taxes. But also with our bosses at work, not assuming that we could do things better, but trying to support them. And even at church and in other groups, trying our best to support the one who is organising something, rather than trying to get it on and do it in our own better way. Of course, in the end, we must obey God and not people if it comes to the crunch. But normally, meekness means submitting to authority. Well, I hope that gives us a picture of biblical meekness. It's not weakness at all. It's strength under control in gentleness and humility. And there is a great sequence to the Beatitudes as we go through them. You see, it's as we recognize our own poverty of spirit that we are sinners. And it's as we mourn our sin that we're in just the right place to be meek, to trust in God and not take revenge, to be gentle with the struggling and failing, to be quick to listen and learn, and to submit to authority. One writer, Sinclair Ferguson, has said, "There is probably no more beautiful quality in a Christian than meekness. It enhances manliness, it adorns femininity, it is a jewel polished by grace." Sinclair Ferguson. And for the follower of Jesus, meekness is vital in all our relationships, in family and in marriage, in the church family, and in the workplace and the wider world. "Blessed are the meek," Jesus said, "for they will inherit the earth." So let's look now at that promise that comes to those who are meek because of their faith in Christ. I reckon that often people worry that if we're meek, we'll miss out. That if we're meek, we'll fail to get what we want or need. But Jesus says that the meek will inherit the earth. There have been some huge inheritances over the years. Only this year, the new Duke of Westminster inherited some £9 billion, including a large chunk of Mayfair and Belgravia. He may have thought he'd done well, unless that is he'd heard about the Walton family in America, who inherited the entire Walmart supermarket chain, worth £93 billion, making them the richest family in the world. But actually, it's the members of Jesus' kingdom who are marked by being meek who will inherit the earth. We read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, "But in keeping with God's promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." In the Bible, God's plan for eternity is not just spiritual, not just souls floating around in heaven. God's plan for eternity is a new earth. Now, there's some debate whether this old earth will go and be replaced by God with a new one, or, as I tend to think, the new earth will be this earth restored and perfectly renewed. But whichever it is, all that is painful in this world will be removed, and all that is good will be enhanced. Every taste, every sight, every feeling enriched and enhanced. It will be a perfect home for God to dwell with his people in righteousness. And amazingly, followers of Jesus will be in this new earth, not just as guests or as tenants, but incredibly as owners. In Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, we read, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may share in his glory." When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God graciously adopts us. He makes us his children. And if we're God's children, then we are his heirs. Amazingly, as it says, co-heirs with Christ. The new earth will belong to us as co-heirs with Jesus. And that means that the poorest Christian in all the world is actually an heir whose inheritance is so vast that if the Duke of Westminster or the Walmart family could see that inheritance, they would feel that their inheritance was tiny in comparison. If our faith is in Christ, and so we're marked by meekness, we will be owners forever of God's perfect new world. The meek will inherit the earth. And it means we don't have to worry that we miss out by being meek. Meekness doesn't mean failure. We don't actually need to be assertive and aggressive and self-seeking to succeed in life, because it is the meek who inherit the earth. As we wrap up, let me say this. We are not by nature meek. I know I'm not. None of us are. Naturally, we're proud. Naturally, we hold on to grievances. We want revenge. Naturally, we're harsh with the struggling, slow to listen and learn, and rebellious. You and I do not deserve to inherit the earth. We deserve God's judgment on our pride. But then there is Jesus Christ, the one truly and consistently meek person. And in his gentleness and humility, Jesus went to the cross to pay himself for our sin and pride, so that if we put our faith in him, we can receive his record of righteousness, so that we can be counted as meek and inherit the earth. That's the loving exchange of the cross. He paid for our pride, so that we can be counted as meek as he really is. And now, by faith, as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, as we strive to be like him, we find that his meekness grows in us. In Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. It's the same word, meekness. As we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, as we strive to be like him, the Holy Spirit grows his wonderful meekness in us, so that we trust God and don't take revenge, so that more and more we're gentle with those who are struggling and failing, more and more quick to listen and learn, and to submit to authority. So in our communion in a few minutes' time, let's remember Christ's meekness in going to the cross for us to save us from our pride. And as we remember that, let's pray that his meekness would grow in us more and more to the glory and praise of God. Amen.